This week's Parsha is Parshas Bahar B'chukosai, another double Parsha. We complete the book of Vayikra, of Leviticus. And the Parsha starts out with a very, very odd pasuk, very odd verse. It says that God speaks and commands Moses, about the mitzvah, the commandment of Shemitah. The commandment of Shemitah is that we should work the land of Israel. When we're settled in the land of Israel, we work the land for 6 years, and on the seventh year we rest. We have to cease. We are not allowed to work the land. It has to lay fallow. But when the commandment is given over, it says it, Behar Sinai, on Mount Sinai, which is a very strange construct. We don't see this with other commandments. It's not like God says, and God said to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, this is the only time we find that the commandment is given and specifically references that it was given at Mount Sinai. So Rashi explains, based on the Medrash, that this is coming to teach us that this is not unique, but rather all the commandments were given on Mount Sinai, not just the general commandments, but the details, which is similar to what's going on here. The details are given here. There's another earlier place where the commandment for Shemitah is given in more general terms. And so the idea of not just the general ideas, but the details are given over as well. But the question is, what's this? Why Shemitah of all things? Why would the Torah go out of its way and say the commandment God is commanding Moses and the Jewish people on Mount Sinai, and then talk about the Shemitah? Like, what's the connection between the two? Now, what's interesting is, just as a side, the end of the Parsha, B'chukosai, the second Parsha, actually brings us the what we call the Tochacha. The God basically tells basically these are the curses, that if we don't follow the commandments, all these horrible things will occur. This one, this version, there are two versions. This one is not as detailed, is not as intensive as the other place that we see the Tochacha, another place of curses. But it comes here at the tail end of the book of Leviticus, and in there it references the fact that part of the reason we're punished is we didn't listen to God and his mitzvot and his commandments, and that we didn't keep the Shemitah. Okay, so what is the connection between Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, and the Shemitah? Because clearly that's what's going on here. There's a deep connection between the two. So Mount Sinai is the revelation, right? Where that intense experience of witnessing, being able to see God as the most that one physical being can do in this world. There are different versions in the Torah, in the Gemara, that describe that event. The Gemara in Shabbos has multiple versions as to what happened there. One of the descriptions of what occurred there, it describes God took Mount Sinai, he held it over the Jewish people, and he said, either you take my Torah, or here will be your burial. I'll drop this mountain on your heads, basically. Smash it over your heads. So is that a literal thing? So it's explained that this is not to be taken literally, but rather what it's expressing is the experience of the revelation. It was so clear. What happened there was so clear. What they witnessed, it was as if they were forced into taking the Torah. They had no choice. The choice was taken away because of its clarity. Kafalim Harkigigis, holding the mountain overhead, was really this idea of the clarity was so, it was so clear that free will had been taken away from the Jewish people. Maral says, he compares it, based on also a Talmudic piece, almost like a rape, that we were forced into it. We had no choice in the matter. But really, what was that about? There was a clarity we understood at that moment in time in our history. There was a clarity. We understood that this world is all God. That everything that we have, our lives, what we see outside the world as it exists, the whole universe, is God. There is a clarity at that moment in time. So what does that have to do with Shemitah? So the Shemitah cycle, for 6 years, a farmer goes out and he works the land. He puts his blood and his sweat into into all the process of planting, sowing, of reaping, of the whole process. So after a certain point, he sees success. He says, "Look at me! Look at what I can do." The Shemitah cycle guarantees that a person for 6 years, he comes back to that place of Shemitah, that seventh year where he stops and he's able to reflect and realize what? This is not from me. It comes from God. It's like similar to the way we experience every week. 6 days God commands us. We're supposed to go out. We're supposed to work, make things happen. And on the seventh day, we come to a stop. And we stop everything and we're supposed to reflect and realize it's all from God. Shemitah is a longer cycle. Same idea. 6 years, seventh year, we rest. The Shemitah cycles go in sevens. 49 years. The 50th year is Yovel, is the Jubilee year, which everything returns back to its original place. The ownership of lands return back. It's almost to say that things go back to its original roots, which is what? Har Sinai. The revelation. That idea of what was expressed on that day, where we got to see this is what it's all about. Hashem is at the end of the day, he's the source of all. We need to come and be reminded of that every week, every 7 years, and so on and so forth. And so we're getting ready for 2 weeks away from, less than 2 weeks away from Shavuot, where we celebrate Mamad Har Sinai, the revelation, and it brings us back to this important idea. And so as we go through this crazy time, the world can be turned upside down within a moment. Our lives as we knew it, completely turned over, upside down. It's a time for us to reflect and to realize, you know what? I could do whatever I could do. I have tremendous abilities, and those are important to recognize as well. But what really we're supposed to come back to is the Shemitah, the Shabbos, where we remind ourselves, where we witnessed at Mount Sinai. There's Hashem. He's at the center of it all. And that, if we have that clarity, then we connect ourselves to the ultimate truth. And then everything else that we do, when we're connected to that, is all good. So the blessing is that we should be able to connect to Hashem, to be able to have that clarity. And with that, we should all be able to experience tremendous Yeshua salvations and blessing. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.